Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Toyless of Titles. This is the Toyless of Titles waiver wire breakdown. And I'm Justin Stevens at JustinFF_. I'm going to be doing this every single week, giving you a breakdown of all the potential waivers that you're going to want to see or want to go pick up this offseason, this regular season, every single week, week in and week out. I'm also going to give you a list of streamers that you're going to look out for those of you that like to stream, especially the tight end and defense and quarterback positions. This is basically going to be set up mainly for redraft and for one quarterback leagues. That's typically what you're going to get from me anyway. Some of the other guys are going to be putting in their suggestions for waivers every single week, week in and week out. Real quick though, I do want to tell you guys to please check us out on all of the different formats that we have, mainly toylessoftitles.com, where you check out our videos, articles, and NFL and fantasy content. Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Facebook, Podbean, Win a Family Breaks, which is another Facebook page that we offer where we buy and sell merchandise, sports memorabilia and whatnot. And then, of course, Spotify. Make sure you hit that like and subscribe to help us out. Ring that bell and give us that 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. But mainly I want to get into the Patreon.com. It's the titles. This is a Patreon that we just recently set up. This waiver wire episode is designed to go to our Patreons. Okay, so for the first few weeks, at least, we are going to post this on our YouTube channel, but it's going to be at least a full day after our Patreons get it. The Patreons are going to get it right after Monday Night Football. I'm going to record this immediately following Monday Night Football so that you guys don't have to wait. I'm going to email it to the patrons through Patreon, and you'll have it immediately. Then we will download it upload it onto the YouTube channel the next day to give everybody else a chance to watch it. But that's only for the first few weeks until we can build up enough in our Patreon to only offer it to the patrons. So again, that's patreon.com/toylessoftitles if you want to get this weekly waiver wire episode early. In order to do that, though, you're going to have to sign up for tier 2. It's $5 a month, but with just the $3 a month tier, if you don't really care to have the waiver wire update every single week, then you will get the Toyless of Title group chat on Discord. It's just exclusive only to our patrons and the guys within the team that we have built here at Toyless Titles. But that level 2, that's where the waiver wire access will waiver wire episode access will be granted to you. This also gives you an invite to the Frankenstank Listeners League. You've heard us talk about the Frankenstank. Many of you are probably in it. We have 36 in it so far. Well, 36 in it this year, and then we're hoping to advance it at least 2 more leagues next year into a huge 5-copy league for our listeners. And then if you want to jump up to the $10 per month, our MVP tier, you're going to get one-on-one roster analysis. You're going to get a free entry into the Frankenstank League. And of course, all the other stuff like the waiver wire access and the group chat through Discord. So that's a quick rundown of our patreon.com/toylessoftitles. Please help us out. Help us to be able to continue to provide more material and content for you for your fantasy teams. Those guys I was telling you about, they're going to be jumping in on on my show notes every single week to help me figure out the best waiver options for you, waiver wire options for you, so you don't have to do the research. So they're all scrolling right down there at the bottom. We've got a whole entire team helping with this monster. So we really appreciate you guys. Of course, check out our show on Twitter at Toyless of Titles. And again, I'm at JustinFF_. All right, so I'm going to get right into it here. Let me find my guys here. So I'm going to start off with quarterbacks. Again, this is typically traditionally based on one quarterback leagues because there really are no quarterbacks that you can just randomly pick up off of waivers unless there's some crazy injury or a change at the starting position at quarterback, and you're not going to – I mean, everybody's going to know about those from week to week. That's not going to be breaking news. So our quarterbacks, when I do the waiver wire show, are going to be based around one quarterback leagues. And again, primarily redraft, but once in a while we might throw in some IDP. I know that Ben from our Down Under Dynasty show is wanting to get into that as well. He's wanting to throw down some of the IDP guys or some Dynasty guys. I'm sure John would love to get in on that too. He'll probably drop a few in there from time to time. So we will have that for you guys. This is mainly just for a wrap-up of the preseason and looking into the regular season, who we need to target. I do also want to mention, since I just talked about the Down Under Dynasty show, guys, we have episodes. We're going to end up having 8 episodes per week coming at you every single week. Monday night is my immediately following the Monday night football game is the waiver wire show. Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. will be the main Toilets to Titles show, the show that started it all with myself and John and Nate. So we're getting back together every single week, Tuesday night, 8 p.m., to do a recap of the previous week and a quick rundown of the upcoming week. Wednesdays at 9 p.m., you get Joe back. Joe knows. He's also going to give an NFL review and preview. That's going to be mostly just NFL-based, not fantasy purposes, just what to look for each individual team in case you want that NFL news, but not necessarily the fantasy football news. Immediately following that show is Dollars to Deuces with our boys Rich and Nate. That's going to be a betting show for you gamblers out there. That's Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern. All these times are Eastern Standard Time. Thursday nights, 8 p.m., a dash of DFS. That's our main boy, John Sheps. He's going to be doing a weekly DFS show for you. Saturday evenings, I can't remember the time exactly, but Saturday evenings are going to be the Down Under Dynasty show. That's with Ben and Matt, our boys from Australia. We're going to have a Sunday Cup of Joe on Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. For those of you that like to wake up early. And then, of course, Sunday at 10 a.m. is going to be the Blitz with Mike with Dirty Jobs. And I'll be on that show with him for the first hour as well. And we've got other guys that are going to be jumping in and helping out with all of these episodes. I'm telling you guys, 8 episodes per week, every single week. We're trying our best to get this content out for you. We hope you appreciate it as much as we appreciate you. All right, so quarterbacks. I already told you I was going to jump right in it. Well, let's actually do that. Quarterbacks, I'm going to start off with my waiver wire pickups for week one. And for those of you that watched the show the other day, you know, I believe it was last night, actually. You know, I have a lot of injuries, you know, and I made a ton of mistakes as far as the draft goes. I didn't realize that they were mistakes at the time. But obviously things have happened over the last 3 weeks. So I now have J.K. Dobbins, Travis Etienne, and then Javian Hawkins. Now Evan Ingram is banged up again, and Carson Wentz is on COVID protocol and banged up. Adam Troutman's hurt. Darius Slayton, just a lot of injuries, a lot of things I have to consider. I'm really looking forward to the first waivers running in a couple of days. So you know I've done the research into this because I really need these guys. The first guy I'm going to talk about here is Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield, in my mind, is going to be a heck of a steal this season. Right now, he's only owned in 51.6% of redraft leagues. He was only a QB1 or a top 12 quarterback in most formats only once in the first 10 games last season. But then they really opened up a whole new offense. They changed their offense, opened it up to him in the last he was a top 12 in 4 of the last 6 games. So in the last 6 games, he had 4 top 12 finishes. He faces Houston and Chicago in weeks 2 and 3. So at the very least, you can pick him up now, have him, hold him for week 2 and 3, and maybe even use him in week 1 if you need him. But I just think that he's a really good add. Jameis Winston is the obvious one. Obviously, Jameis Winston, he's only owned in 17.2% of redraft leagues. That was as of late last night, so I'm sure that even went up today with the news of him being the starter for what realistically should still be a high-powered offense. I mean, you still have I know Michael Thomas is out for the first 6 or 8 weeks or so, but even with that, they've got Callaway, who's a speedster. They've got Troutman. They've got the Alvin Kamara and Murray. They still have a talented offense there that he's going to be reaping the rewards for. So you definitely still want to pick up Jameis Winston if you can still get him for free off of your waivers. Next, I have my running backs, and you can see them down there at the bottom. The running backs I have, I'm going to start with Gus Edwards. Gus Edwards is only owned in 48.3% of leagues. Again, by the time you see this, maybe it's going to be higher because he is technically the starter now. I'm not going to expect anything huge from Gus Edwards. He's not going to be anything flashy, but he's the starting running back for a run-heavy and high-powered offense. I know when I say run-heavy, a lot of that is rushes by the quarterback, Lamar Jackson, but at the same time, a lot of times good rushing quarterbacks tend to breed good rushing running backs as well. So there is still a chance that he's going to have some pretty big weeks. And if he falls into the end zone once or twice, it's going to be even better. Carlos Hyde. I know this one sounds crazy. He's 30 years old. He's only owned in 8.9% of leagues. But with Travis Etienne going down, last season James Robinson had like 91% of the touches or something like that, or 91% of the snaps. I forget. 91% of the running back touches. That's what it was. So he got all of the opportunity. He's not necessarily going to get all the opportunity this time because last year they didn't have another running back to go to. This year they've got Carlos Hyde, and I know he's 30 years old, but last season with Seattle, he had his second best yards per carry of his 8-year career. It wasn't a limited role, so it's a smaller base to go by. But still, I mean, 30 years old, still getting 4.4 yards per carry. He'll be a serviceable backup in that role. And we've seen other running backs still do well at 30 years old. It's not likely, but it's possible. So he's worth picking up because he's free right now. Ramondre Stevenson, that's actually a running back I'm pretty excited about. He's only owned in 8.8% of leagues. They were more than willing and happy to trade away Sony Michel for a cheap draft pick to the Rams to back up Darrell Henderson. Ramondre Stevenson is a talented and quick back. He's the obvious backup and fill in for Damian Harris. So if Damian goes down, he is going to be the fill in guy. I know because a lot of times people think of James White as the backup. He's the obvious third down back, and that's clear cut. We know that. So if Harris goes down, Ramondre is the guy, and they don't have a whole lot after that either. So with his level of talent, he has the ability, and he can definitely take over that role. He should see plenty of opportunity as a change of pace back, and you don't get a lot of that in fantasy football with running backs. With running backs, you want to get any opportunity you can take. Justice Hill is only owned in 1% of leagues. Again, that's going to go up with J.K. Dobbins going down the way he did. And again, nothing flashy here. We know what we get with Justice Hill. This is strictly just an opportunity thing. If it's a deeper league and you need a guy, go ahead and go pick him up. But I wouldn't spend a lot of fab dollars on him. All right, now running backs. Running backs, I'm going to start with Marquez Callaway. Marquez Callaway is the fill-in for another guy that I drafted in that league, Michael Thomas. So he's going to be the starting guy. He's looked really good in camp. He's looked really good in the preseason. And now with Jameis as the starting quarterback, a guy that loves to chuck it down the field, I see Callaway having a lot of opportunity to really flash. He's definitely worth a look at the very least if you decide that you want to go with any one of these other numerous wide receivers. By the way, guys, look at this list of wide receivers. This is exactly the reason why we tell you to hold off on wide receivers in drafts, and when you're talking redraft especially. These wide receivers can always be had late for real cheap, or in this case, even off of waivers. Darnell Mooney, only owned in 54% of redraft leagues right now. He scored double digits only twice in the first 12 games in PPR last season. He was only a wide receiver two, which is a top 24 wide receiver, only once in that stretch in those first 12 games. Then as the Bears were giving up on their season, they started to realize that they had something in Darnell Mooney. They started giving him more playing time. And because of that, he was able to earn his spot as the number two wide receiver in that offense. He finished double digits in scoring in three of the last four games and was a wide receiver two in two of them. Again, I'm not saying you need to go pick up Darnell Mooney to be your wide receiver one. This is a guy you can have for next to nothing off waivers and have as a good role player, a decent flex from time to time. And with the right matchups, he's going to give you wide receiver two upside. And now he even has a better quarterback situation, no matter who the starter is between Dalton or Fields. Michael Pittman, 54% owned. T.Y. is out for multiple weeks. This is strictly a volume play here. The volume is definitely going to be there for him. He already earned the wide receiver two role in that offense, and they don't have a whole lot left to go to with T.Y. going down. So with that volume and an offense, you have to assume they're still going to pass. Obviously, they want to run, but that should make their passing game even more efficient. Russell Gage has moved up to the wide receiver two role. We've seen him in that role before, and he played solid, and he played really well. Got decent numbers for your fantasy team when you had to plug him in. Why not go ahead and pick him up now and keep him stashed and play him when you need to in a flex position? Gabriel Davis. This is a guy that I have in a lot of leagues, guys. Look for him to blow up this year. He had several wide receiver 2 weeks last season. He's right there on that cusp. He's still young. He has an expanded role this year, especially since he's younger and better than Emmanuel Sanders. Guys, I'm not worried compared to Gabriel Davis. That's how talented I feel that this guy can be. And I'm talking about at this stage of his career, obviously. A younger Emmanuel Sanders, a injury-free Emmanuel Sanders, then obviously there's no comparison. But with Emmanuel Sanders the way he is now, I'm taking Gabriel Davis all day. And then the other guy there that some people are worried about is Cole Beasley. But with him being on the COVID list or the suspended all-season list because of his COVID antics, or who knows what's going to happen with that guy, he's just a loose cannon. He's not the kind of guy that most coaches want to have on their roster or out on the field or have to rely on them on a consistent basis with everything that's going on right now. So I just don't see him playing the role that he's played in the past for the Bills. I see that role being shifted over to Gabriel Davis really fast. Let's see, tight ends. John, so wired. Thanks for watching, buddy. Let's see. It's definitely different because I'm so used to having other people on the show all the time. So I lost that rhythm I had when I did used to do a lot of shows by myself. So it's gotten kind of strange here. I'm fumbling on my words, but it's good. We're going to struggle through it. So my tight ends are I'm going to start off with Anthony Firkser. I always get that wrong. Anthony Firkser. He's only owned in 8% of redraft leagues right now. This is sheerly an opportunity pickup. There's no competition for him for reps there. They're going to have him in when they need him to block. They're going to have him in when they need a receiving tight end. He is talented enough to do it all. I know the tight end position doesn't get a lot of looks in that offense, but with Julio there to help open up that offense, they might pass a heck of a lot more this season. And with that, that should help open up the field with A.J. Brown on one side and Julio on the other. Maybe that opens up the field a little bit. Speaking of opening up the field, you know I can't get through a waiver wire episode without talking about my boy Blake Jarwin. Speaking of which, I still need to send another message out to him and his manager to try to get him on the show. I think it's been more than a week. I try to send one every week. So Blake is zoned in just under Blake. We're on a first name basis, and even though the restraining order said not to call him by his first name. But anyway, Blake Jarwin is only owned in 7% of redraft leagues right now. He does have a little bit of a Dalton Schultz problem because with his injury last season, Dalton was able to step up and show that he's also a really capable tight end in that offense. But Blake had decent numbers in a limited role as a backup for two straight years. to Jason Witten before he went down last season in week one for his injury. So he has three amazing wide receivers. All three are going to help open up that offense. They're going to stretch that field. You've got Zeke in the backfield to help stretch it. That middle of the field, not only is it going to be wide open, and he is talented at working the middle of the field, he's also going to be covered by a linebacker. They're never going to have anybody else but a linebacker covering him because of all the other weapons that the Cowboys have. If the Cowboys are going to start double teaming players, I can guarantee you it's going to be one of those wide receivers before it'll be Blake Jarwin. Hell, it'll be Zeke before it's Blake Jarwin. He should see a lot of opportunity. CJ Uzomah is a guy that I've been on all offseason, picking him up everywhere I can because I was so impressed with his first six quarters of the season last year. I know it's such a small sample size, but in six quarters last year, he actually did really well. He was inches away from catching a touchdown pass in week one. It was just a little bit overthrown, but he still finished with four catches. And in week two, he went down in the second quarter, and he still finished as the tight end 12 after only playing two quarters. And in that game, he also had four catches and a touchdown. He was Joe Burrow's favorite target in the red zone over the first six quarters of the season. Again, I know it's a small sample size, but Burrow really seemed to like him when he was out there. So if he can stay healthy and he's out there and you're getting him for free now, he's worth rostering, especially those two tight end and tight end premium leagues that I know many of you love. That is my dog tripping on my cord. Got the Miami Dolphins defense as my only waiver wire defense right now, and that's mostly because we don't know what we have with defenses until we see a little bit of the product on the field for all 32 teams in week one. I promise I'll have more defenses for you to pick up, especially in the streaming mode, which I'm about to switch to streaming mode in just a few minutes, but for now, this is an actual waiver wire pickup. They're only owned in 31% of leagues, so if you're one of the guys, like I do this in some leagues, if I don't get one of the top defenses I really like, I just wait, and I may not even draft a defense, and I'll wait until right about now, right before the season starts, and drop a guy like J.K. Dobbins that's on IR now and pick up my defense then. And you find a defense like this that's young and they're improving. They have a decent schedule, not so much at the beginning of the season, but again, you don't really know what you have with the offenses or the defenses until you see them on the field. So I think they're worth picking up and giving them a shot and kind of see where they fall, especially if you have that extra roster spot. And then my kickers, you know, I'm going to talk about kickers on the waiver wire show. I'm the only guy, I believe, in all of the entire Toyless and Titles network that cares about kickers, but I love kickers. So Greg Zuerlein, that one's a no-brainer. I have no idea why he's only owned in 54% of redraft leagues. If you have kickers in your league, he should be owned. Again, it's that Dallas offense, one of the most potent offenses in my mind this season, along with Rodrigo Blankenship, who's also in a pretty good offense, and with Jonathan Taylor running the ball, even though everybody else seems to be getting hurt, you've got Jonathan Taylor. They're going to run the rock. They're going to get in the red zone a lot. And if they can't punch it in there, Rodrigo's going to get you some field goals. So I believe that both of those guys are must-own kickers in fantasy football if you want the type of kicker where you can just set it and forget it. You get one kicker, you keep them all season, and you don't worry about streaming it. Personally, I like to stream kickers. That's just because I like to research them a little bit. Let's see. So speaking of streamers, now I'm going to talk about my streaming players that you want to pick up. We'll start with the quarterbacks. We have Matt Ryan and Kirk Cousins. Matt Ryan is playing against Philadelphia. Absolutely putrid defense. I know Matt Ryan is without Julio now. They're without Todd Gurley. We don't know what Mike Davis is going to look like in that offense. We don't know. I think we all pretty much know that Kyle Pitts is going to catch on pretty quick. But still, we just don't really know. But I'm willing to give it a shot against Philadelphia in week one. So if you drafted a quarterback or you waited late round to take one or two quarterbacks and you don't like the matchup and you need a streaming quarterback, go ahead and get you a little bit of Matt Ryan or a little bit of Kirk Cousins, because Kirk Cousins is playing Cincinnati, and with Joe Burrow still not 100%, that offense is still really young. So maybe the Bengals defense, or maybe the Vikings defense can help set Cousins up in some nice field position. And then you've got Kirk Cousins with a lot of good offensive weapons out there. And so I see them scoring a lot of points in week one against Cincinnati. By the way, this just in, the over-under on points scored in that Falcons and Philadelphia game is at 1,374.5 points. I think I'm going to take the over. Let's see. Running backs for my streaming list. I'm going to stream Gus Edwards. So that is a horrible call. Why did I put him there? Because he's not going to be a streamer. He's going to be picked up. All right, so we're going to take Gus Edwards out. Pretend like you didn't see that, and we're going to skip right on down to Giovanni Bernard because Gus Edwards is going to be picked up on waivers, and he's going to be owned. You're not going to be able to stream him. Let's see. Giovanni Bernard for week one is playing against Dallas. Giovanni Bernard is probably, I mean, we're all assuming, I know this is lazy analytics because we don't really know, but we're all assuming he's going to take on that James White role. He's very, very capable of catching the ball in the backfield. I mean, most leagues at this point are PPR, and that's the one key piece that Brady was really missing that he wanted, and now he has it. And, I mean, he already won a Super Bowl, and now he's still getting tools that he really wanted. So the Packers could take a little play from the playbook there from Tampa Bay. Let's see. Then I have Tevin Coleman, only owned in less than 13% of leagues. Tevin Coleman is – he has a decent shot at being the starting running back for week one, and that's the only reason I threw him in here. We don't know which running backs are going to do what in New York. So if you're very desperate for a running back, Tevin Coleman has just as much of an opportunity as any, especially since he is the main veteran in that backfield with the most experience. There's a chance they'll utilize him a lot in week one before he finally gets hurt or loses the job to Michael Carter, which I think will happen pretty quick. So this is a streaming show for a streaming portion of the show. So this is only for week one. Chuba Hubbard. So Chuba, this is way too late at night. I should already be in bed, but Chuba Hubbard against the Jets, you can't go wrong. Okay. I feel strongly that the Panthers are going to be up pretty quick in this game. I feel like Sam Darnold, it's a revenge game for him. He has a lot more to show than what we saw with that pitiful Jets team from last year. The Jets are young. I think they're going to be exciting to watch. I think they're going to get better as the season goes. But starting off with a bunch of rookies, a young team, and I just think it could get out of hand really quick. And the Panthers are going to want to see what they have in their young rookie running back while also saving CMC a little bit at the start of the season. Right out the gate, give me that rookie running back. Let's see what he's got against the Jets in garbage time if you're desperate at running back. Next, I'm going to roll with our wide receivers here. Russell Gage seems like an obvious one here. Maybe I didn't mention Russ. Yeah, I mentioned Russell Gage in the pickup, in the waiver wire part. But as a streamer, I also absolutely love Russell Gage as well, because he's playing against Philadelphia in what I think is going to be that high-paced game, all offensive game. So why not go ahead and pick him up? Again, he's only owned in less than 29% of leagues. Jameson Crowder, again, if the Jets are going to be down, they're going to have to throw the ball a lot. Jameson Crowder is a PPR monster. You may as well pick him up if you really need a wide receiver or a flex spot. Randall Cobb is an interesting one for week one because it's against the Saints. But the reason I want this guy as a streamer for week one is because I kind of want to see that reunion game with him and Rodgers and see what they have. And if they have chemistry, if there's potential there, nobody has really completely taken over that wide receiver two role and kept it ever since Randall Cobb left. And I know Cobb has played a lot out of the slot in recent years. But I mean, even if he plays out of the slot with that kind of rapport that he already has with Rodgers, for 28% owned, there's a real chance that you might have something special with him if you're willing to take the chance or you have the roster spot. So take them, see what happens in week one and see what they do, even if you don't start them. Gabriel Davis is playing against Pittsburgh. Again, I only put him on here because I want you to stream him because I want you to end up keeping him. That's how much I love this guy. I'm telling you, Pittsburgh has a stout defense. I would never normally say that a streaming guy you need to pick up and start against a stout defense. So maybe you don't start him because you're a little scared and this Justin guy doesn't know what he's talking about, because I have been wrong. I just feel strongly about this one. I wanted to say his name again. All right, tight ends. Tight ends, Zach Ertz and Hayden Hurst. Zach Ertz and Hayden Hurst are playing against each other in that Atlanta and Philly game. So why not? Okay, again, there's going to be a lot of yards. There's going to be a lot of points scored. 18.4% owned for Zach Ertz and only 2.1% owned for Hayden Hurst. I understand Hayden Hurst is not Kyle Pitts, and then Kyle Pitts has all the name recognition right now from the rookie draft, and everybody is on Kyle Pitts nuts right now, but he's still a rookie. And I know rookie tight ends, he's not like your prototypical rookie tight end. He's going to be more of a wide receiver. I get all that. I totally get it. But at the same time, Hayden Hurst is the veteran. He's still going to get opportunities, especially in week one and especially against a poor Philadelphia defense. Speaking of defenses, Panthers, Vikings, and Jaguars are all streamable in week one. You will only hear me say that the Jaguars are streamable maybe one more time on the season. And I'm only saying it this time because they're playing at Houston in week one. The only other time you'll ever hear me say that they might be streamable is when they play at home against Houston later on in the season. The Panthers, again, an obvious one for me. The Panthers are playing against the Jets in week one. They're only 16% owned, so they're available out there. And they're playing against a rookie quarterback. Defense is much improved from what they were last season, so I can totally see this being a dominating game for the defense. And then the Vikings against Cincinnati. Again, Joe Burrow is not 100%. So if you can pick up the Vikings, they're less than 20% owned right now. If you need a defense, why not go for it? Streaming kickers. Again, you know I'm going to bring up the kickers. Josh Lambeau of the Jaguars. He's playing at Houston. So, again, they're going to score a lot of points. May as well take the kicker that's going to be the recipient of those extra points and field goals. Rodrigo Blankenship against Seattle, because I believe, like, Seattle's defense is not that good, especially that secondary, but I believe that with all the injuries that the Colts have right now, maybe there's a chance they can't get into the end zone. They should at least be able to make some magic happen, again, with Jonathan Taylor to get them down into the red zone. Maybe you get a couple extra field goals out of Rodrigo Blankenship. And also, Seattle does have a tendency to start slow. If you go back and watch our offseason breakdown of the Seattle Seahawks, the guests that we had on there, both talked about how the Seahawks traditionally start off slow every single year for the first four or five games, and their defense is sluggish, and they never play well at the beginning of the season. So maybe Rodrigo Blankenship and the Colts get something going on offense. Before I cut out here, I do want to say that today's show is brought to you by Primetime Sports Talk, your top source for all major sports content, including DFS, fantasy advice, and great gambling tips. Be sure to head to primetimesportstalk.com to check out their in-depth analysis, exclusive articles, fascinating interviews, and explore the rest of their amazing podcast family. Again, primetimesportstalk.com, your go-to spot for sports content. And again, I can't express it enough, patreon.com/toilettosidetitles. This is how you guys get the waiver wire episode every single week. I promise I'm going to get better at this. It was really choppy. It wasn't very well organized. I did it to try to see how we're going to evolve this thing over the course of the season. So I'll start getting back into the rhythm of doing loner shows by myself again. And I'm sure the flow will be much better in the future. But But yeah, so check out that Patreon. You get the Patreon and do that second level, the $5 level, and you'll get the Waiver Wire episode every single week, Monday night, right after I record it, right after Monday Night Football. So you don't have to wait for it. You can just wake up Tuesday morning, check your email, watch the show, listen to the show, whatever, and put in your waivers and be done with it. So hit that like and subscribe button at the bottom, ring that bell, and give us that 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Appreciate you guys. And hey, good luck this season. Football is right around the corner. Let's get excited.